I do want to say this. We have a visitor amongst us. Kelsey is here. Brooklyn brought her with her. I got to see Kelsey on New Year's Day, right? Because it was after, was it New Year's Eve or was it New Year's Day? Eve, yes. I got to see Kelsey on New Year's Eve. She was hanging out with Brooklyn for some reason, but she has come still to hang out with her. So we are glad that she's here. Thank you, Kelsey, for coming and hanging out with us. But it was the time and the place for New Year's resolutions. Some of you have made some of those. Some of you are thinking this is the exact same as it was in 2017. Some of you made commitments all the while, knowing that you had no intention to keep the commitment you just made. You know what? When 12:01, actually when 12 o'clock rolled around, New Year's Eve into New Year's Day, you know what I thought to myself? I'm going to start eating healthier. And you know what I did? I went to the freezer, grabbed a bag of Hershey Kisses, because I love them frozen. And I sat down as we watched, I forget what we were watching, but sat down to finish watching something, and I was popping the Hershey Kisses in, just... And I thought to myself, it's been like a minute, and I've already broken my New Year's resolution. But I don't know if you've made resolutions. I don't know what they mean. In fact, how many of you, without being like, to get a girlfriend, but an honest resolution, something that you made, how many of you have made a resolution this year and want to share it? Yes, Faith.
Oh, want to share it?
Okay, you don't have to share it if you don't want to. This is what happens when you raise your hand before the teacher finishes the question. Lose 20 pounds? Okay. All right. Yes. Yeah, I'll probably gain both of yours that you lose, but
I'm chiseled for the beach.
I don't blame you. And for next year's talent show with the oil and everything. Yeah. All right, anybody else have a resolution you made? All right, I made a resolution. Yes, Mr. Nate.
Hmm.
That's good. I made a resolution this year based off of 2 Timothy 4:6, and my resolution is to get poured. Now, I know you're like, what the heck are you talking about? But in 2 Timothy 4:6, Paul is talking to Timothy, and he mentions that he is already being poured out as a drink offering. And Pastor John talked about it, which is what kind of inspired me to kind of study it a little bit more and make a resolution based off of it on, I think, Christmas Eve service. Those days was when he was talking about it. But the idea of the drink offering was, in the Old Testament, they would offer this drink offering and they would pour it completely out. And the idea was there was nothing left to offer. Everything was poured out on the offering already. There was nothing left in the bottle. It was all empty. And so my resolution for this year is to get poured, that I would pour myself out for my family, for Christ, for my church, for my youth group, that there would be nothing left in the bottle. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't ever sleep or that I'm stupid with my time, but it means that in everything I do, that I put my whole heart into it, that I put all the time and effort that's required for it or should be into it. And so that was my New Year's resolution based off of that. But we are here tonight as part of Renew University, a way to start clean in 2018. And some of you have made personal goals, some of you have made spiritual goals, just in order to be able to say at the end of 2018, I don't feel like I did at the end of 2017. I either want to feel different spiritually, physically, emotionally, whatever it is. And we've made these decisions and we've made these goals based off of that. Well, in Renew University, the reason we're doing this is because a lot of times we as Christians make these resolutions and make these goals, and then we fail and we have no idea what to do next. I.e., some of you have not kept a single one of your camp commitments. And part of the reason is because we make them at camp in the midst of this spiritual atmosphere, and we get back home and everything's not so spiritual. And so we change or we do things differently or we lose some things. And then it's almost like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but with my decisions, it's almost like after I break them, I think to myself, why even redo it? Why even go back and start over again? I've already broken it. Why not just keep breaking it? So in Renew University, what we're going to talk about, we're going to take some classes on a way of how we can start clean in 2018. And I want to read some verses that go along with this. It's in Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah chapter 40, and we'll read a couple verses because I don't want us to have the wrong idea. This is not, Renew University is not a cure-all. You are not going to, excuse the double negative English teachers, you are not going to not struggle, okay? You are going to struggle. There are going to be issues. You are going to fail. In fact, let's just look at Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in verse 27. It says, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel?" And they say this, "My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God." In other words, what they're saying is God doesn't truly care about me. I'm going through all these difficult times, all these hard situations, all these brokenness, all this stuff, and I'm going through all these things, and God doesn't care. Why is my way hidden from the Lord? Why does not God not give me what my just claim is? In other words, what I should get. So verse 28, the prophet replies, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." Those are great verses to read after New Year's resolution, right? All the youths, all the young men, you're going to fall and it's going to be great. Just enjoy your tumble down the hill, right? You're just going to fall. But in verse 31, it says, But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Now that'd be nice in the physical aspect. And they shall walk and not faint. You are going to fail in your life. It's going to happen. In fact, there's lots of motivational videos out there about people saying that failure is good because you'll learn from it. And I agree, failure is something that's going to happen. Now, you don't look for failure, but when it happens, you don't just sit down and wallow in it and cry in it. You get back up and learn from it. But failure is going to happen. The question then becomes, what do we do when failure happens? When New Year's resolutions cease to be valid anymore, when we fail on our spiritual resolutions and our commitments, what do we do? Well, these are questions tonight that are going to be covered in our class tonight in Renew You, and it's Salvation 101. So you have a couple of notes there. You can go ahead and hit to the next slide. You have a couple of notes there in your handout. The first one is this: salvation is hope. Salvation is hope. You can write that down, you can scratch it in blood, you can do whatever you want to, but Salvation 101, salvation is hope. Now, I am not naive. I know the moment I said salvation, some of you just zoned out because you're going, it's church, man. I hear about salvation all the time. I hear about God and Jesus and all this stuff. This is so basic. I don't need stuff like this. I already know all this stuff, so you can go ahead and keep firing it off, but I'm going to zone out. Let me tell you, I'm actually not really even going to deal with it. I'm going to give a brief overview of the gospel, but I'm not even going to deal with it in depth. The reason I'm going to talk about it tonight is because salvation is our hope. Remember in the verse, it says, "He gives power to the weak, and those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and weary, but young men shall utterly fail. But those who wait," and the other word for wait is hope, "but those who wait are hope on the Lord. They shall renew their strength." Listen, you are going to fall and you are going to fail. But the reason that salvation is so vital to us is because there's hope in it. Because in the midst of your terrible life, or in the midst of your great life, no matter where you are at in the spectrum of great to worse, no matter where you're at, salvation is hope. It means that you don't have to stay down. It means that you can stay up. It means that everything that you need and want in life can happen because salvation is hope. It's not just the hope of heaven. It's not all about just going to heaven. Jesus Christ that we just celebrated was born in a manger on Christmas. Now, obviously not the dates don't line up, but we celebrated it at Christmas. And so Jesus came to this earth, born of a virgin. It was called an immaculate conception. Big words to mean that she didn't have sex. That the Holy Spirit put Jesus in Mary. And so Mary gave birth, being a virgin, to baby Jesus. And so baby Jesus grows up to be little boy Jesus. And then little boy Jesus grows up to be preteen Jesus. And he probably didn't wear deodorant just like some of y'all don't. And then he grew up to be teen Jesus. And then after teen Jesus, he grew up to be college age Jesus. And then after college age Jesus, he grew up to be adult Jesus. And so once he gets to adult Jesus is where we kind of pick up his ministry when he's 30 years old. And so as we follow his ministry, we see him healing people and causing the blind to see and giving money to the poor and all the things, the miracles that Jesus did. And so many of us want to look at what Jesus did for those people and say, I'll take some of that. I've got some ailments. Why doesn't he just come and touch me and heal me? Why doesn't he just come and like, you know, flick, you know, give me one of them fish that John kept finding the coin in? Why doesn't he give me one of them and I can just get some money from him? Why doesn't God just keep giving me what he did then? But you know why Jesus did the miracles was not for the person that was directly involved. Jesus did the miracle for us. Because we look back at historical Jesus and see that Jesus did do these miracles. In fact, they're proven. But he did do these miracles. And why did that make a big deal? Because Jesus was proving that he was, in fact, God in the flesh. And so as God in the flesh, there is no other way to heaven. In fact, John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so Jesus makes this claim. Why? Because it's hope, man. It's hope. You don't have to work your way to heaven. You don't have to do good things. You don't have to obey your parents every time. You don't have to get straight A's. You don't have to have all of your ducks in a row. You don't have to have everything right in order to go to heaven because Jesus had everything right in order for you to go to heaven. And so Jesus, as an adult man, gives his life. He gets beaten. He gets smacked. He gets his beard ripped out. He gets a crown of thorns placed on his head. He gets beaten with a cat of nine tails until his back is so open you can see his organs. And he's hung up on a cross, and he hangs there, and he says phrases not about himself, but about you and I. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. It is finished. All of this so that we can have hope. And then Jesus dies, and hope is gone. In fact, all the disciples standing around when Jesus died went, what the crap do we do now? And they all ran, like scared to death ran. I mean, they hightailed it out of there because their hope was dead. There's a holiday in March/April, depending upon when it falls, that we celebrate called Easter. Easter is hope risen. Because when Jesus Christ, 3 days later, raised from the dead, hope came with him. And so from here on out, we look at Jesus and not say, oh, I've got to do all these things to get to heaven. We look at Jesus and say, he has provided the payment and he has provided the hope and he has provided the promise and the security. If I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I have the hope of heaven. I can go to heaven and I know 100% sure that I'm going to go to heaven if I put my faith and trust and hope in Jesus. But Jesus isn't just for the hope of heaven. He's for the hope of today, for the hope of tomorrow. When you go to school and you're worried because people keep saying terrible things about you and you don't know what to do and you don't know why people are being mean to you and you don't know why people are saying things they do or why situations are happening in your life, he is hope. Our salvation is hope. It gives us something to believe in. Now, I like Star Wars. I'm not a Star Wars nerd. But in Star Wars, what's the one thing they always say that all they need a little bit of is hope. Hope. Why? Because hope, if you can believe in hope, you can do extraordinary things. Even after you've fallen or failed, you can mount up with wings like eagles. You can run and not grow weary, and you can walk and not faint. Why? Because salvation is hope. But salvation number two is freedom. Personal relationship with Jesus Christ doesn't mean you are shackled. It means you're free. Some of you treat the Christian walk as if like, oh, I can't do anything I want to do. Oh, I don't understand. I don't understand why God doesn't want to do. And everything is negative. And everything is, I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do this. I can't do that. You know, the great thing about Jesus is that you can. Everything in your mind you say, but I'm not allowed to do this. You know, every single one of those things you could do and God would forgive you. Every single one of them, God would forgive you. Every single one. There's freedom in Jesus. Now, hopefully, your mind doesn't just go to, oh, Pastor AJ said I could do this. Okay, that's not what it's for. Because freedom gives us the understanding that there are certain laws, spiritual or physical, that we should put on ourselves to maintain order, i.e., the United States of America. We have laws. We are a free country, but we have laws. Why? Because laws are self-imposed to govern us to make sure we don't do crazy things and it's not chaos. So therefore, in your life, freedom is there. You can do whatever you want to as a Christian. But as a free Christian, I look and say, but there are some things I don't want to do because I don't want to bring harm to the name of Christ. I want to be free. You will mount up. In the verse, it says you'll mount up with wings like eagles and you'll soar. You have the strength to move past. You have the ability, to move past your shame, your pity, your remorse. Salvation gives you a freedom to get back up from being down, to leave 2017 behind, and to walk forward clean because you're free. There's a song called Chainbreaker, and it talks about how Christ has released us from the chains, and he's unshackled us from what binds us down. And if there is ever something in a teenager's life that will bind you down, it is your necessity to be liked. Now, I'm the same way. Okay, when people post stuff on social media, like I hate my youth pastor, like I'm not like, oh, sweet, I did my job, you know, or anything like that. It doesn't feel good to me, okay? So I enjoy being liked, all right? I do. I really enjoy being liked. I want my wife to like me. I enjoy being liked. However, I do not wrap my identity in being liked by people. And I know for a lot of you, because I know teenage years, it's this balance of I'm my own person, but at the same time, maybe I'm not, so that these people will like me, right? There's this balance between the two. And I understand it's not a bad thing, but your necessity to be liked by someone or some group or somebody a lot of times will drive you to make terrible decisions because you're shackled by the weight of, will somebody please like me? Salvation is freedom because there's somebody who loves you. And you don't have to be shackled by caring about what somebody else thinks about you, because number one, I love you and I like you, no matter if anybody else does or not. But you are unshackled by salvation. Salvation frees you from the chains. Number three, salvation is power. I want you to answer this in your own heart. Don't answer it out loud. But are you still struggling with the same junk you did in 2017? Did it follow you into 2018? Maybe some of you have made commitments just like I did and within a minute or two was already broken. Now, mine was Hershey Kisses, but maybe some of yours are something else and it's already broken and you've already lost it. Listen to me. Salvation is the power to have victory over those sins. You do have, or you do not have, the strength in yourself. You have the strength because of salvation to move past your lying, drinking, smoking, gossiping, whatever it may be, your past failures, your whatever it is, your cheating, your relationship issues, your family issues, whatever issues it is that will come to the forefront of your mind whenever I say issues, you will fail at. You cannot beat it. You cannot just be, oh, I'm going to pull myself up by the bootstraps. You can't do it, okay? Maybe that works in a physical aspect. I'm going to push myself harder to go to the gym every day. Maybe. But when you're talking about a spiritual resolution, you cannot just say, well, I'm going to do this. You can't do it. Salvation gives you the power to do it. You can run and not be weary. You can walk and not faint. Why? Because of salvation. Because it's not you. It's Christ in you that gives you the ability and that gives you the strength to do all of these things. Why does God give you that ability? Why does God want you to have that? Because there's hope and freedom in salvation, and that gives you power. Because you don't have to be chained to it anymore. You don't have to be hopeless anymore. You are free, and you are powerful, and you are full of hope, all because of what Christ offers you for free. Jesus paid the price for you to have it. Not you, not me. I didn't pay the price for you to be here, to have that. Jesus did. And in our 2018, if we want to start clean in 2018, one of the things that we need to have is the ability to understand that salvation is foundational. It is what we build everything on top of. You cannot say, man, I'm really struggling with a bad attitude with my mom without understanding what salvation is. Now, you can be saved and not understand and not be diving into what salvation provides you. And I'm not saying getting resaved. Once you accept Christ, you're saved for life, but or for eternity. But I'm talking about understanding what you did. Don't just say, oh yeah, I trusted Christ for salvation and for heaven. Now I'm going to live life. That makes no sense. Why would you trust God for something you don't see, you can't see, and not trust him for the things you look at every day? Salvation gives us hope. It gives us freedom. It gives us power. I know people get bored about salvation. I get it. I understand it. In fact, a lot of times I do too. A lot of times if I'm reading over portions of the Bible and I run into gospel-themed verses, a lot of times I struggle with the thought of skipping over it. Now, I know you're like, oh, skip over the Bible? How dare you? But for me, I'm like, a lot of times I think, man, I know this. I really do. I've studied this. I know what the gospel says. If you took away my memory, if I got into an accident and lost my memory, probably the first thing that would come back was the gospel. Just because I know it so well. I talk about it. I preach it. I do all these things. But salvation is the basis for everything that we are. It is foundational. There is no way to move past salvation. You cannot get over it. You cannot push it to the side. You cannot leave it behind. It is salvation that gives us hope. It's salvation that gives us freedom. And it's salvation that gives us strength. Listen, you want to start clean in 2018? Start back at the very beginning. First off, make sure you are saved. There's got to have been a day in your life where you came to an understanding that you were a sinner, that God is God, and there was no way for you to get to God by yourself. It may be tonight. Maybe tonight you're going, oh crap, he's talking to me. But there, at some point in your life, there has to have been a time where you stopped and said, I cannot make it to heaven on my own. What do I do? And Jesus steps in and goes, I'll fill that gap. And Jesus fills the gap for us so that we put our trust in him in order to get to heaven. So there's got to be a time in your life where you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the hope of heaven. But once that happens, guys, you don't move past it. You don't just go, oh, I'm saved. Let me go over here now. No. We stay here and we build on top of this. At the Children's Museum, there is a little like sandbar thing. We take our kids there because we have a membership. There's a little sandbar thing and you can build and draw and all that other stuff. And they've got this spinning wheel that you put some sand on, you're supposed to spin it, and you kind of like put a stick in it and it drags and makes designs and all that other stuff. And my kids do not understand that you cannot build a cylinder object just straight up with sand. Like they keep dumping sand on there like it's going to, you know, raise to the moon, and it just keeps falling off the side because there's nothing to keep it in. It just keeps falling off. The foundation isn't sure. There's nothing set that you can build on top of that continues to build it up. They don't understand it. Salvation is looking, if you can think of this little square that I'm making as salvation, it's the basis for salvation. We build on top of a sure foundation. It's like a cylinder that I just keep dumping sand into, and it's going to keep going until the very top because it's a sure foundation. Don't ever start building salvation or building on top of it. You can't add to it, but you build on top of it, and then all of a sudden you go, yeah, but the ball table over there looks pretty fun. Let me go over here. And then wonder why you're struggling. Stay here. Salvation is hope. It's freedom. It's power. Salvation is everything. Bow your heads and close your eyes for just a minute. I'm going to pray for us, then we're done. But I want to ask you in your own heart to do a check. I know most of you, I know some of you, I just met Kelsey tonight, but I know most of you from multiple times here, some of you more than others, some of you less than others. I never want to take for granted that someone sitting in this room knows Christ as their Savior, because I can't even tell you the number of times I have had nightmares that I have stood before God and have seen a teenager that belonged to my youth group not going to heaven, and I thought they were because of something they said. I have nightmares about it. Honestly, I'm not lying to you about that. I do. So I never want to take for granted to give people an opportunity to respond to the gospel, whether I think you're saved or not. So here's what I want you to do. If you're in here tonight and you say, you know what? I am not 100% sure that I'm going to heaven. Don't raise your hand just yet. I'm not 100% sure that I'm going to heaven. I might be 98, 99% sure. I think I've done some good things. I've helped out. I've done all this stuff. So I think if God were to weigh my good and my bad deeds, I think I'd make it into heaven. Let me tell you this, God doesn't work that way. In fact, in Ephesians 2, God says it's not by works of righteousness. That's not how we get to heaven. It's by grace are we saved through faith. So tonight, here's what I want to ask. If you're in here tonight and you say, you know what, I'm not 100% sure that I would go to heaven, but Pastor AJ, I want you to pray about it. My prayer does not save you. You're not going to be saved because I'm praying for you. But you want me to pray for you that you would have the wisdom to make the right step, to make the right choice, the next step. If you're in here tonight, you don't have to raise your hand up high. Just slip it up so that I can pray for you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to bring you forward. We're not going to take a group picture together. I just want to say that I'm praying for you. So slip your hand up, put it right back down just so that I know to pray for you, that make sure that you know that you are saved. So slip it up and then put it right back down. All right, and for the rest of us that are in here, I saw a couple of hands go up. For the rest of us that are in here and say, you know what, and I'm assuming by you not raising your hand that you're saying you know for sure you're going to heaven. So many of us try and move past our salvation and do things on our own terms and on our own abilities, and we fail and we get angry and don't understand why God isn't there and why he doesn't love us and all these things, when really we're the ones who've walked away from the sand table. We're the ones who've walked away from the abilities he's given to us to build onto a foundation. So if you're in here tonight and you say, you know what, I think that I need to start building back on salvation. I need to add things to it. Not that salvation needs addition to get to heaven, but it needs works piled on top of it. It needs the things that I do every day to look back to salvation and to glean strength and power and freedom and hope from, and I need to start doing that. If you're in here tonight and say that, that's me, slip your hand up, put it right back down. Again, I'm not taking a group picture. I'm not going to call you out, any of those things. But you say, you know what, this year I have not been doing what I should have been doing as far as following Christ the way that I should have. And this year, I want to start clean in 2018. That's me. Slip your hand up, put it right back down. All right, I'm going to pray, and then here's what I'm going to ask. We're not going to have an invitation. You don't have to worry about coming forward or anything like that. But for those of you who say, I'm not sure about my salvation, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Either just come talk to me afterwards. If you're not sure about salvation and you want to be sure, come chat with me. If you say, you know what, I'm a little bit too nervous to chat with you about it, then text me, call me, whatever you need to do tonight to get it settled. I don't want you to go home and go to sleep without knowing for sure that you would go to heaven. So text me, call me, whatever you need to do tonight to get it settled before you go to sleep, please do. I don't want to have that nightmare about you. Father, I'm thankful tonight for who you are, what you've done in our lives, what you've done in my life, Lord, the fact that you are, God, you are everything. I have nothing outside of you. Lord, I'm thankful for this youth group. I'm thankful for my wife who sits in the back so beautifully. I'm thankful for my kids. I'm thankful for everything that you've given to me, my church, everything. But God, I am nothing without you. Your salvation, you are my hope. You're my freedom. You're the power that gets me up every day and gives me something to live for. God, would you help our youth group to understand that Jesus is better? And that salvation is what gives us that mantra, that gives us that motto. And God, I pray that we would live it. For those who said that they're not sure that they're going to come see you if they were to die, Lord, I pray they get it settled. Not because we have a number chart. We're not going to mark their names off as a job well done. We're not doing any of that stupid stuff. All we want, Lord, is for people to come to know you and to follow you. So, Lord, I pray that they'd get it settled tonight. And for those who said, we need to start clean, I've messed it up in 2017, but I want to start clean in 2018. God, would you give us power and strength and freedom and hope to do it? It's in your son's name that I pray. Amen.